Well, let's go to the Lord then. Father, we thank you tonight that those who are away from us are not away from you. And all these things you already are aware of, but you tell us to bring them before you, so we're going to. We want to pray for our country. We haven't mentioned that, but it's always advisable. Many situations in our country that are troublesome to us. And again, you know the end from the beginning, but we lift up the leaders of this country and pray that they would lead, and they would do so in a biblical Christian manner, as has been the norm of this country for so many years. Father, we thank you for those who have made it to the camping area. Some are coming back now that have helped with transportation. So we pray that your will would be done. This would be an excellent week of refreshment and enjoyment and growth in all facets of the lives of those who have gone. Pray for those who have not gone but are here at home taking care of the everyday things that have been left for us. We want to pray for Jason and Grace's son, Adam, as he is getting close now to birth. We have many young babies born or coming, and we just praise you for all of them. Pray your best for them. You are the great physician and the creator of all. So we thank you for them and all that you're doing through them. For the Michaels who are dealing with issues at home with plumbing, Father, the issues of life do not stop necessarily, and there are always things that need to be done. This is a part of your creation that cannot be sustained without you. And so we will always have issues to deal with as long as we're on this world. And so we pray that you would make that an easy and effective repair, all that's done there. We pray for David Tukwa, for spiritual needs, physical needs, and Father, that you would have him, that you would compel him, put it in his heart, contact his family. And Father, there are others who are from us now that we would like to hear from more than we do. As I say that, I'm brought quickly to the point, there are others who would like to hear from us more than they do. And it's the ongoing thing. We're all so busy. Everyone's busy and self-focused. And others going around them need a touch and wanted to touch. So I pray for this individual, but that it would go beyond that. That you would keep all of us mindful of those who do need to hear from us. And help us to be faithful to make those contacts and embrace them, even if it's from a distance. And Father, Laura's baby, if Wednesday is your time, then Father, we ask for that. You can do sooner than that, but Father, we ask that you finally bring the baby and the mother home together and safety, and we would see great growth and strength and your provision and all of that. Father, we yield to you, the wonderful counselor and the great physician. But we do bring this request before you. As we do the same for Shalane, who is struggling with a muscle pull, we pray that this week would not strain that additionally, but she would see relief. And we know you can do that. Father, there have been many hands raised tonight, and more could be, for unspoken requests. And your Spirit will intervene for us as we search for words and we struggle with the right way to present our desires, our requests to you. So we thank you that even though they've not been spoken aloud, they've been heard on high by the one who has all powerful and can not only hear unspoken words, but can do before we even think the thought, that which is needed. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for your goodness and your gifts in all areas of our lives. In Christ's holy name tonight. Amen. Earlier this year, the Lord gave me a message that I wanted to share with churches in the community that support Shoals Save-A-Life. This church is one of those. And so I asked the pastor some months back if I could come and share this particular message, and he already knew they would be gone, so this was the night chosen for you to hear this. And so this is a Save a Life message. I'm speaking tonight as the director of Shoal Save a Life to those who support our ministry. Some points that I think useful, and at the same time, I want to enhance or increase the appreciation, perhaps, for those of you who do support us as to the nature of it and how important it is that you stand with us. The first part of this is a very common portion of Scripture that is used by pro-life ministries to reach out to the community. It's actually taken out of context somewhat when that's done, and I'll share that with you, how it is out of context. But the beauty of the Scriptures is there's always applications. Yes, it says this, and it means this, and this is the context, but you know what? There's a truth there that you can apply elsewhere, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that with that portion. But the nature of our ministry, many people struggle with. Not everybody likes our ministry. We understand that, right? But the Lord does. And there are Scriptures that you can apply just as precisely as anything. We'll do that as well. And then I'll close with another portion that I think will be an application that might surprise you. It did me. That's the beauty of the Scripture, isn't it? That even after 30 years, you can get surprised reading it. And hopefully that's a positive thing when you do get that surprise. It was for me as I heard it. I'm going to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And you've heard this referred to any number of times, this portion. And it has particular application again and is used over and over. In January, for instance, on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, all across the country. But just because you've heard it before doesn't mean we can't revisit and see what the Lord has to say. I'm going to begin in verse 11. I'm going to go most of the way to the end of that chapter. And I'll read a good portion of it, and we'll come back and look at the points in it. In verse 11 of Deuteronomy 30, now we're coming towards the end of Moses' life and ministry. We're in this portion in Deuteronomy here where he's kind of making sure those who are going to remain and go into the promised land hadn't forgotten what's taken place and what they needed to have learned along the way. And that's what this portion's about. That's what this portion's about. Remember this, is what he's saying. And in verse 11 he says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land to which thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land to which thou passest over to Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." And we're familiar with that portion. And the words there are just so emphatic. Choose life. That's the kind of license plate I have. I hope you have those too, because our ministry gets $41 each year if you have one of those plates. Choose life. And so you can see the application that's made there, but if you read it, you know it's not talking about abortion. In no way. But important points, I see, and we can make what I think is a tremendous understanding or attempt at understanding why some of the issues around abortion exist. But the first thing is so important where he says, this is not hidden from thee. I'm giving you a commandment, but I've already given it to you. It's not written anywhere except in your heart. You already know this. Everything in here, when he says, and this is the result of this, we're already there. This is not hidden from thee. I'm giving it to you. We're writing it down today, but it's not in heaven. Certainly it originated there, but it didn't stay. God did not chance that. It's already in your heart. He's already given it to you. And you don't have to send anywhere, but just in case there's anybody who has issues with that, I'm going to tell you right now what it's about. It's not beyond the sea, but the word is very near unto you, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, I have shared with you before the work the Lord's done in my heart for women who've had abortions in their lives. And I understand how much grief is down that road for them. And small wonder, because everyone that's ever made that journey has taken a journey where they have to deny what the Lord has placed in their heart. You know, mentally, we can get there. I like to say, and I say it frequently, no doubt you've heard me say it before, we will all believe a lie under enough pressure. Even if we know it's a lie, it's in our heart. God has written it in our heart. And every girl that'll go in, that went in this morning to have an abortion, has violated what's in her own heart. And she will pay. The enemy will have access to her as long as she runs from the Lord and does not repent and come home to Him. It's in your heart. We want to find them while their heart's still in control. That's what our ministry's about. You know you don't want to do this. You think you have to do it, but you do not. There's another way. There are other ways. See, he says, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. He did not set another way in the middle. Pastor said that this morning, didn't he? There's no middle ground here. When we start talking the middle ground, that's the enemy's ground. That's where he wants you. In between right and wrong, thinking that's just as good. But he owns that turf. When you sit on that fence, you find that fence is a razor blade. It'll cut you to pieces, and it's quicksand. There is no middle ground. And the Lord makes it very clear here. It's life and good, and it's death and evil. And when you're not serving Him, when you're not following Him, no matter what you think you're doing, you're following the other guy. He's got you. He's got you. And that's the way it is. Now notice, it's not about abortion. We come down here and he says, love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and keep His commandments, that thou mayest live and multiply. That is how you choose life. You don't sit down one day and say, I choose life. You sit down every day and choose life by following the life manual provided by the Creator of life. This is choosing life. This is the way I'm going to walk. And when I fall and I stumble, having chosen life, I'm going to allow Him to pick me up and dust me off, and we'll go again. I'll choose life again, even though I make the mistakes. And multiply. Seest that thou mayest live and multiply. Now we've got a lot of babies in the church and more on the way. And we like that, don't we? In our ministry, I always say, if we can get them born, babies win every time. They win your heart. You cannot go to them. You cannot not love them. And that is in our heart as much as anything the Lord did. It's natural. You're choosing life for you, and the best your life has to offer is when you have children, grandchildren. Just occurred to me, here it is, Father's Day, my grandson leading the singing, my granddaughter playing the piano. And a daughter between us, and a great-grandson behind. More to come. It's good stuff. Multiply. Bring those forth. But do understand. We must understand that it's a decision that we have to make. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear. And that's where we are in our nation today. People will not hear. I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I think. Okay. Having said that, you've made a choice. You know, people cannot not choose. I remember hearing something. It made sense to me when people get in a divorce issue. And one of the things that comes up, it says, we don't communicate. It's not true. You cannot not communicate. You can communicate horrible things, like indifference, when you won't talk, when you don't show up, when you're totally focused on yourself, you are communicating. It's just an ugly, painful, hard message that's breaking a heart of the one who says, we don't communicate. Yes, you are communicating. You've heard the message that the other person will not acknowledge having sent. You cannot not communicate. That's the way it is. And we can say we don't hear. But our heart is our heart. It was made by our Creator, and He wrote it down. One of the painful things for those ladies who have aborted children, and they come to that and they say, well, it was the best I could do. I didn't want to do it. Most of them do not want to. It's under pressure, coercion of some kind. Most of them do not want to do it, but it was the best I could do at the time. No, you could have done better. And you know it. You know it. Yes, he's gone. He was a lowlife. There's no question about that. But you made the choice. I think the enemy takes great delight out of the fact that the boy stops in the parking lot, hands her the cash, and she goes in alone. And she comes out different when the day is over. I just wrote something, and I can't even remember who I wrote it to. But the point was, the world, our nation, particularly society, says to the women, you have the right to choose whether to carry this child or not. And by empowering them to choose, they have also loaded them up with all of the guilt. And he can say, whatever you want to do, here's $300 to get you started. And it's gone. But her heart eventually will have to be dealt with. There's no alternative. And part of the struggle these women face is the fact that you can bury pain for a while, can you not? We've all done that. Just hold it down. But something will eventually come out. It's like a festering wound. I remember when I was a little tiny guy, one of my very early memories were, my grandparents were building a home, and I was playing in there, and I went crawling up this board, and I slid back down it. Had on shorts, and on my right knee, I must have had at least 100 splinters went in there. That hurt. Even today, that hurt. But I didn't tell anybody for a week until my mother saw me limping, and every one of those had festered into a real problem, you know. And that's what goes on here. You can ignore it. You can grit your teeth, which they do. But there will come a day when it'll surface. The unfortunate thing is the family she's involved in so often has no relation to what has taken place before, and she nor they understand what the explosion is that's taking place. Wheels are coming off, and nobody knows the bolts were taken out of those wheels 10 years ago. Will not hear. If thine heart turn away so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods in the earth. Make no mistake, we worship other gods. We worship self today, and the other guy's behind that worship. He likes us to like ourselves that much that we turn our back on the Lord. That's his handiwork. I declare unto this day that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Yes, it's written in your heart, but today I'm recording it. And thousands of years from now, guys like Jerry will be standing up in front of pulpits saying to people, it's recorded right here. Do not be deceived. God has made it clear. There is right and life. There's death and evil. There's the options. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. What's strange to me is when I hear this message for pro-life causes, I rarely hear the part about and thy seed may live. That's what our ministry is about. It's the seed that's in peril. Certainly her life is in peril too, for the downward spiral. I could tell you, I won't do it tonight. I could tell you what's through that door for her. I've done it before. All of the decisions she makes after that, driven by this self-hatred and condemnation she feels. But you choose life this way so you and your seed may live. Choosing to abort a baby so you can live a better life. You can't find that in here. It is not in here. It's counter to what the Lord has recorded this day, and it's counter to what He wrote in our hearts. And if we will not adjust to that, then we will not survive. Now, I am personally concerned for our nation. You've heard that from me before. People will say to me, do you think we're in peril of the Lord lifting His protective hand from us? And when they do, I would say back to them, tell me what you think would be happening now if He hadn't already done that. That would be different. Show me that His protective hand is on our nation today. I think that'd be tough. I think that'd be tough. Choose life. It's recorded here and in our hearts. This is a small group and a solid church. We already know that. But that was not about abortion. I want to take you to a scripture that the Lord broke my heart with some time ago. I may have already used it here, but it's okay. Because it's the best one I have. Because it's in context. They don't use the word abortion, but it's in context. It's over in Proverbs chapter 24. If you want to go there with me, you can get there. We won't spend a lot of time there. The good thing about Proverbs, you don't have to worry about context. It says, boom, boom, here's my points. You need to apply those. Consider that. And that's the way it is. I'm not developing a case here. I'm telling you what's real. And you better consider it. And this is just like that. I still remember the first time I read this, and I probably have shared with you, it jumped off the page, went straight to my heart. Didn't pass through my eyes, I don't believe. Right to my heart. In verse 11 it says, if thou forbear to deliver those who are drawn unto death, and those who are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that weigheth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? And I say to you, that's talking abortion. They are being drawn unto death. They're being led to the slaughter. And that's what's taking place. Now, I also know and have shared with you, the women are being damaged as well. Everybody goes through that door is being drawn unto death. Her dreams are dying. Her very life is in peril. If thou forbear to deliver those who are drawn unto death. And in 1994, the Lord said, Jerry, you're not going to forbear any longer. You're going to get involved. You're going to get involved, and I'm going to have you engage and try and prevent those who are being drawn unto slaughter from going through with it. Y'all been with us a good part of that journey. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that. But that's as plain as it can be. Again, it's proverb. You go back to the verses before it. It's talking about other stuff. This is a very simple matter of a citizen standing and looking at people passing before him going to be killed and not engaging. And he says, if you do that, does he not consider it? Does he not know it? And will he not pay? This is a country that needs to answer those questions. That's the trouble with rhetorical questions in the Bible. It's written in our hearts. We know the answers to those. He does know, he does listen, and he will pay. And is. I shared with you before, it struck me, John Adams wrote, nations by their nature have to be judged while they are nations. They do not survive for eternity. So if God's got business to deal with the U.S., he's got to do it while there is a U.S. After all of the rest and the Bible is closed, there is no U.S. But he will deal with governments. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He's in control. And when we have lousy leaders, we better look at our own hearts. I always think of that verse. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. I believe the Lord looks at the king, looks at the heart, says, that's a match. Enjoy each other. That's scary stuff because I don't enjoy much of that anymore. My greatest regret of running for Congress is finding out what that's all about. Ignorance was much more enjoyable 10 years ago when I didn't know what all was going on. All right, out of that. He shall render to every man according to his works. He will render to countries. We don't have to worry about that part, except our own part in it. Our own part in it. It's been a painful journey for me to find out how many churches, denominations, who have no difficulty with the abortion issue other than don't want to talk about it. Had a leader of a denomination in this area say to me one time, I forget what I'd said to him. I know who he is. I know what he is. So I didn't say anything provoking to him other than to let him know, I think, about our abortion recovery ministry for women. And he says, but they can be forgiven. So can murder. So can thievery. Do you tell them it's okay to do that and come in and get forgiveness anyway? Your message is twisted there, sir. I didn't say that. But yes, they can be forgiven. That's our ministry, to help them do that. And if enough of them in your denomination are forgiven and healed, they'll hold you accountable for that milksop answer. You'll face lots of judgment. I have a hope that that's coming soon in our nation. I have a vision of 2 million healed post-abortive women in Washington, D.C. on the Mall. Congress will adjourn. They will flee. Those women are dangerous. I'd love to see that. I'd like to be there. The only guy in town. I want to close with another portion that you're familiar with. I want to make, again, the application to our ministry. And this is where you come in to play. I want you to understand a little bit more than possibly you do. Go into Exodus now, 17. Moses, again, dealing in his life. You're familiar with this portion. And this is not about us, but again, there's an application here. It's much closer than I realized until just in the not too distant past. Exodus 17. And we find, as we always find, God's people on the move, going where they need to be. And opposition arises in the form of Amalek. Okay? In verse 8 it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephaim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." We know this story. "And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua vanquished Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." We have those portions of Scripture where it don't make sense to us. Did God tell Moses to do that not knowing that his hands were going to get tired before the day was out? Would he put men's lives at stake knowing that Moses can't hold up that staff all day? Well, he does. He is God. There are men who tomorrow are going to have to go raise up their hand. They might have a scalpel in it instead of a rod, but if they don't, somebody could die. And some will. People every day have to go before the Lord and do something that they probably aren't really capable of in order for people to survive. This is different. But the wonderful thing about the God that would have a man hold up his hands in order for others to survive, He will have people beside you and will accept their assistance. And so Aaron and Hur says, "We're going to have to help here." God says, "That's okay. It's all right by me. I accept that." We're in a transition here. Moses is not going to be around forever. You've got to understand you're part of it too. It's okay. And so they hold up the hands and God does the work. It's obedience, ultimately, that makes the difference, is it not? Nothing magic about the staff up there, except God said, "This is what I'm going to use. So just get it up there, and I will deliver you." And so they did. Heard that passage so many times, and like so often, never registered with me the full strength or power of it. Until I heard a pastor one day on the radio, and he's talking about when it says Amalek prevailed, think what that means. God's people were dying when Amalek prevailed. Don't say that, but that's certainly what it means. David knew what it meant when somebody's prevailing at that line between two armies, did he not? That's how come Bathsheba's husband ended up at that point. And he did not prevail that day. And that's exactly what's going on here. Moses and the others are up high and they can see perhaps the line moving back. But when the line moves and one army is prevailing, people are being killed and laying there. as it moves back and forth. And now, application to our ministry. Lots of good ministries around. We never ask people to choose our ministry over another. The Lord can choose, and the Lord puts it in people's heart to support ministries. But it came to me very strongly and suddenly. There are very few ministries like ours where at the critical moment, if the ministry fails, whether it's just not there or whatever reason, somebody dies. Failure of our ministry, somebody dies. And that's heavy. That's heavier than a staff. And we're not as strong as Moses, even though he was 120 at that time, or whatever it was. And we have to have people hold us up. If you get our newsletter, and I've talked about it before, about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks to now, we had a situation that destroyed Ruth emotionally. And it wounded me greatly. Because we had a girl coming in we knew was abortion-minded. And Ruth was in there struggling with her for all she was worth. We had an ultrasound scheduled, and ultrasounds are great, but she didn't take the ultrasound. Nothing Ruth could say would penetrate, and she left, and as far as we know, somebody died. We hope that's not true. But Ruth was devastated at the end of that meeting. She'd come out, she couldn't fill out the papers. I did what I knew best to do. I took her to lunch. Even that, couldn't get her back. I loaded her up and we went home to see my dad for a couple of days. We had to get away. What hurt my feelings most is I came through the office there. There were four people in the office that day beside Ruth, and not a one of us was engaged with her. But taking care of paper on a computer, doing something like that, and spiritual warfare at an extreme level taking place right around us. And we let her hold it as long as she could, and she couldn't. So that broke my heart. Let her down, let the girl down, let the baby down. When our ministry fails, somebody dies. And it's not about paper. It's not about the computer. There are girls coming through who are in great peril of the ultimate choice of life. Choosing abortion is not choosing life for her. It's a hard way to go. And so those churches, like this one, who do support our ministry, I want it understood, you are doing a good work. Without you, we can't keep our hands up. It's not the only heavy one we've had. It's just the one that hit hardest most recently, showed me my own shortcomings, and showed me how much I depend on her. She's a wonderful counselor. But she's not God. And we need more spiritual resources. So let me thank you officially. I've done it before, but I mean it. The ministry don't survive without the church. It's not about us. We're getting long enough in the tooth that somebody's going to have to step up anyway in a few years and take over this ministry. The girls will still be there in 5 years. I want to thank you. You know, I have a good mind for foolishness. One way, you help us hold our arms up, stuff baby bottles under with change in them. Or checks, whatever you want to put in them. That supports us. Prayer supports us. Having a church that knows about our ministry and is engaged with us, that holds our hands up. So I want to acknowledge your part in our ministry. I don't like numbers, but they're helpful, and sometimes that's all you can do. There's been 7,000 women come to see us. There's 2,000 babies around. But our mamas found out about them in our ministry. They weren't all vulnerable to abortion. That's one of the struggles in our area today, is so many would tell these girls, don't go there, they'll put you on a guilt trip. So the enemy tries to prevent them from coming to see us. So if they're very abortion vulnerable, they got circles around them trying to keep them away. So not all of those were abortion vulnerable, but you don't know. Many of them, they're not vulnerable, but 3 weeks later, he's gone. 2 weeks later, their mom and dad say, this is not good for you. How are you going to get through college? And next thing you know, she wasn't vulnerable, but now she's gone. So we have to stay with them. And we're not strong enough for that. We need the support of this and many other churches, and we're thankful we have it. So my testimony this year was to try and make the church aware of it. One, how hard it is. And two, how incapable we are. And how vital it is to have those stand with us and behind us. And we're thankful you're part of that team. We wouldn't have made it this far had it been otherwise. So thank you. And lift us up when you think about it. And remember the girls. They're in real peril. They're in real peril. Father, we thank you tonight that you will accept hands that are held up by others' strength when those you've called to leadership are not able to do it. We thank you that you always have a plan. You always have people around. We are never alone. And when we see no one else, you're with us. You've called many to ministry, and they minister in different ways. Some in the forefront, if you will, leadership positions, some in prayer and financial support, any number of arenas. It's all service that is worthy and honoring to you. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for the ministry of Shoals Save a Life. We thank you for the ministry of this church. And we pray your blessing on it. I know the pastor and his family get heavy arms. It's not a unique situation. So, Father, I pray your blessing on all of us and your Spirit minister to our hearts to give us increased understanding of that which you've written in our hearts as well as your word, so we would not find ourselves against you. Father, we praise you for your goodness and thank you in Christ's holy and precious name tonight. Amen.